Welcome to Pod Summarizer, the way to summarize your favorite podcasts. Today we have a summary of Call Her Daddy. In this episode, Simone Biles joins the host to discuss their unique connection and the journey that led to this long-awaited interview. The conversation dives into their past interactions and the excitement surrounding their meeting. Remember to follow us on X and Instagram and on our website, podsummarizer.xyz. And now, let's begin.
Simone Biles, welcome to Call Her Daddy. I feel like we've been waiting for this for so long. Okay, we need to tell the daddy gang the story. So I would say, like, I don't know, maybe like a couple years ago, I don't remember who DM'd who. No, I remember. You tagged me in a story that you were watching Call Her Daddy, and I lost my mind because I was like, wait, she listens? Like, and then I started pressuring. I'm like, oh my God, I need to like do better. Like, I need to impress Simone. Like, but it was such a cool full circle moment that we started DMing and we had this like DMing relationship here and there. And then when NBC and I started working together for the Olympics, I remember we sat down and they were like, okay, like what person do you want to interview? Yeah. And immediately I was like, Simone. And like, of course, they're like, LOL, like, that's so cute. Like, of course, everyone wants to interview Simone. I'm like, no, like, I need to interview her. And they're like, do you know her? And I'm like, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, we're pen pals like that. Yeah. And now we're finally here.
Thank God.
It's perfect.
Yes.
Okay, so we were just at your parents' gym. Watching from previous documentaries that you've done to watching it all get built to you now, like, having your own gym and how supportive your parents have been, like, what does that support mean to you?
For me, it means the world because being adopted since I was 6 years old to now, it's been a long road and journey, like career-wise and just like who Simone is instead of Simone Biles. So it's been a long journey, but their support means the world to me. They've never really missed a competition, anything besides 2020 Olympics, 2021, whatever we want to call it. That's the only thing they missed because they weren't allowed to go because of COVID, but other than that, they've supported everything that I've ever wanted to do, all of that stuff since I was a young girl.
When you say the word Simone Biles to the world, I think everyone immediately thinks Olympian, the GOAT.
Yeah.
And I think there's like a lot of people that probably don't know where you came from and the backstory of like your life hasn't always just been this picture perfect situation. Right. When you were three, you went into foster care.
Yes.
Can you just share just a little bit like, what was going on at home that led to that?
I was only 3 years old, so I learned that a little bit whenever I was older, but drug and alcohol abuse. And so I just don't think that she was around too much and people, you know, would call CPS or see us out and about. So that's kind of what happened. That's when foster care came and got us and placed us into a foster home. And so the only thing that I remember was just being anxious when we would go to sleep because my brother was in the room next door. And I think we were just always used to sleeping together or close or whatever because he's not that much older. And mind you, we were three. And so I just had anxiety problems. So we were in a girls' room. They had girls' rooms and boys' rooms. And from my knowledge that sometimes during the night or during the day, they would take kids out and replace them into a different home. And that's usually how siblings were separated. So I was just so terrified that if I woke up, my brother wouldn't be there. Even though I was with my sister, I was like, oh, we all have to stay together, kind of that thing, even from a young age. So I'd always sneak in and go sleep with him because I'm like, oh, this is my brother. You know, because I didn't understand the separation whenever at nighttime. Fast forward a couple of years later, I was at gym and I knew I was adopted. From the moment we were adopted, my family told us, you guys are adopted. And I was like, cool, okay.
Right.
Like, great. Like, I don't know what that means, but, and then they had asked us if we wanted to call them mom and dad. And from my knowledge, I was like, perfect. Like, why wouldn't I? And so it was just super strange to me because I remember this day at gym, we were talking about our families and they had said something and I was like, oh, well, I'm adopted. And it felt like everything in the room and the gym stopped. And they were like, what, you're adopted? Because that was not to their knowledge. And I was like, why is everyone freaking out? And so I was like, well, you know, my parents, those are my grandparents. My uncles that I call my brother now, those were my uncles. And so I just remember we all sat on the floor, practice stopped, because everybody needed to know the story. Like the coaches were intrigued, everybody. They were like, you're adopted? And I was just kind of like, Well, yeah, aren't you? Where'd you come from? I'm just like so confused.
Right, it was normal for you.
When they say the stork brings the babies, I'm like, how did you get here?
Stop.
I'm like, you weren't picked.
Wait, like, you weren't in a house and then
you weren't adopted. So like that was shocking to me.
Did your parents ever talk to you about your biological parents?
Kind of funny because no, because I'm not sure the relationship, maybe because we didn't ask either, but we knew who it was as we got older, Shannon, and that's kind of what we just addressed her as. But I knew once I got older that that's my dad's daughter, and then that's also crazy explaining to people because I'm like, my biological mom is also my dad's daughter, and I call him dad. So it's just like, everybody's hella confused.
It's a whole family tree that you're like, don't make me explain it. My parents are my parents. I got chosen, feeling blessed. Yes. Let's move on.
Literally. Oh my God. I'm like, if you think too hard, it just gets jumbled.
So your grandparents adopted you at 6.
Yes.
And now they're your parents.
Yes.
Boom. How do you think that did change, though, like the trajectory of your life?
Everything. I have no idea where I would be without being adopted. Unfortunately, I might end up the same statistic that other foster kids unfortunately end up. And you know, at 18 years old, you get kicked out of a foster home. So then you're homeless.
Right.
If you don't get into college and stuff, which most people don't graduate high school, you're on the street. So like, I fear for what my life would have looked like.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's incredible to see what you have all built together as a family. I love how in the beginning you just quickly are like, and then when I'm at the gym, back up. Okay. You are the greatest of all time.
Yes.
Let's talk about when you first got into gymnastics. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember? Did you just think of it as a hobby? Were you passionate about it? Like, how did you get into gymnastics?
We got into gymnastics, I say we as me and my sister, from a daycare field trip. Again, I believe everything happens for a reason. In this day, we're here in Texas, if nobody knows.
We're here in Texas.
We were supposed to go on a field trip to the oil ranch. Like, how country, how Texas is that?
Okay.
And then we wind up at the gym. And it's because it was storming that day, so they're like, that's an outside activity. Where are we going to take the kids? And so I feel like God was like, take the kids to the gym and see what happens. And so we end up at the gym. And I see these girls, and mind you, I've never seen gymnastics in my life. They're flipping around all of the things, and me, 6 years old, I'm like, I could do that. Like, not knowing, I just, like, feel like I could do that, and I'm watching them, super intrigued. Somebody does something, I do something, and then the coaches look over, and they're like, can you do that again? Like, what did you just do? Have you ever been to gymnastics? It's like, no, this is my first time. And I did it again, and they're looking at my body build, and if I show you pictures whenever I was younger, like, I was built, like, I was ripped for no reason, just, that's just how I was built. And so they were like, you've never done a sport, your body stature is, like, it's made for gymnastics, and they're like, that's not normal. And so they sent a letter home, and I gave it to my parents. My mom saw it, and she was like, okay, do you want to do the one with the 4 events, or do you want to do tumbling, and then maybe you'll go to cheerleading? And I was like, I want to do the one with the 4 events. And that's how I started.
It is truly fascinating that, like, some people you hear that are so great, like Tom Brady, for example. You think of Tom and they're like, oh, he was a little awkward and it's, like, kind of crazy that, like, Tom can even, like, run the way he can.
Yeah.
For you, it's the complete opposite where, like, you walked into the gym and people were like, who is that girl?
Yes.
And you had never done any of this before, because I was going to ask you, like, was there ever, once you started, an aha moment that you were like, holy shit, I'm actually really good at this?
Never for me. Everybody else always saw it. And since I was always the smallest in my class, the shortest, I thought they would always be like, oh my God, she's so good. She's so cute. She has so much talent. I just thought it was like what your grandmother does when she comes around every year, like, oh, you look so good. Like, I thought really that's what it was. And I'm like, you're just saying that because I'm so short. So it took a while for me to really, like, lean into my talent and to realize, oh my gosh, I could do something or be someone. Because once I started, I did it for fun. Nobody in my family has ever done gymnastics, so they have no idea where the talent came from. My siblings were really good at track, but that's kind of it.
Were you in school? Did people make comments about how short you were? Like, were that you were
short?
Like, you were...
Yes, because, like, you could always grow. So they were like, we're just waiting for her growth spurt, which I'm still waiting. I tell God, like, finish it when I'm done with gymnastics. So maybe we're not done yet. I mean, the doctor probably thinks my growth plates are closed, but that's a different story.
I love it. You're like, but, it's going to happen.
But other than that, They all saw it.
Having navigated the challenges of self-acceptance and the journey of discovering hidden talents, the conversation now shifts to the intense moments of competition, where the stakes are high and every decision can change everything.
And I'm thinking, if I do a double back, that's so dangerous. My coach will kill me. My team will never forgive. And I saluted, and I was like, praying to God, because I knew I was going to do a vault, but I didn't know what I was going to do. And I knew I was going to try to do a 2.5, but I didn't know how many twists I was going to make. And I just, because I couldn't twist anymore. It's just like your body, your brain opens up, have no idea where you are. So I opened, landed like that. And as soon as I land, I kind of grin and I'm like, shit. And I salute and I want to run. If I could have gotten a plane and flown home, I would have done it. But I just, as soon as I landed, I was like, oh, America hates me. The world is gonna hate me. And I can only see what they're saying on Twitter right now. That was my first thought.
Simone.
I was like, holy shit, what are they gonna say about me? Because usually if you go to the Olympics and you flop or whatever it is, everybody on their couch eating those little chips.
Right, it's like you let the country down.
Oh, I thought I was gonna be banned from America. Because that's what they tell you, don't come back. If it's not gold, gold or bust, don't come back. And I was like, I don't, thanks.
Can we just pause also? Like you landing and the first thing that you're thinking should have been, thank God I'm alive. Because you can severely hurt yourself in those moments. Yes. And you understandably, because this is such an athlete thing, it's like praise everyone, get everything for everyone and just like sacrifice my body at all costs. And you land on the mat and you're thinking, what is Twitter saying?
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm going to be one of those videos, flops at the Olympics. Like, this is horrible. And I knew I couldn't recover. And I know how long the twisties takes to get over. And I know it's not overnight.
Can you explain also to people that aren't familiar, what is the twisties?
Okay. If I had to explain it in gymnastics terms, it still might not make sense. But it's basically like your mind and your body is at a disconnect. Your body is going to try to do something. And your mind is going to be like, no, you're not doing this work. You're going to open out. You're going to do this. But it's the same as if like the best way I could describe it is every day you drive a car. If one day you woke up and you had no idea how to drive a car, your legs are going crazy, you have no control over your body, that's kind of how it feels like. You've been doing something for so long and you now no longer have control.
Terrifying.
And it's terrifying because we're in a car without any protection. I am my car. Like, so I would explain it as like the yips in golf or baseball or whatever it is. I'm not familiar with other sports. So if I'm wrong, correct me. But that's kind of... That's kind of how it feels like.
So immediately when you get off the mat, what do?
I go to tell my coach and I said, I'm done. I'm not doing anymore. Because if I survive that, I don't know how much else I can survive. Like I always say I'm a cat with 9 lives, but I think that was my 9th. I'm done. And she's like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, Jordan, gear up. You're in. You're doing the rest of the meet. I'm not. Like, I can't do it.
And are you like internally freaking out, but you're coming off just
internally,
like-
but I didn't want to freak out in front of the girls.
Got it.
So I kept like as composed as I could have. And I was like, you guys got this. And then they just went, we went to the back just to get evaluated like mentally and physically. But we also didn't want to, I didn't want to scare the girls. So I was like, can we please go? And there's cameras, all the cameras rush over. And I was just like, because I know what happened, but I also don't know what happened and why it happened. So we just went in the back. The girls are gearing up for bars. I come back out and I was like, you guys got this. You'll be fine. Trust me. And they were like, no, we can't do this out without you. We're not going to win anymore. Da, da, da. They're freaking out because they also know what Twitter's going to say if US doesn't win. And I was like, don't worry about it. You guys are here because you're the best in the world and you will be. Like, go out there and do your job. But I think it was really hard on them because mentally they lost their best player, the veteran. Like, I think it was really hard on them. So that's something that I'll never forgive myself for that whole entire experience, because I wish I could have been in there with them in a way that I was supposed to, physically, putting up team scores, putting them. But after that, I became their loudest and best cheerleader. But I just wish it would have been contributing the way that it was supposed to happen.
I think that's so hard. When you're an athlete, you understand that moment where you're like, you logically know there was nothing else you could have done.
Nothing.
But
nothing.
Your brain is illogical when you're in those moments
of course,
with your teammates where you're like, I will literally like die for this team
and
right
now. And that's what I was doing. That's what I was putting myself through in the back. And that's why I don't know how I made it that far through warm-ups, through competing. I don't know how I landed on my feet. And I think that's what people don't realize is, like, that's not the vault that I was supposed to compete. I had a whole nother full twist that I was supposed to compete. So they're like, she didn't want to lose. And I was like, no. I'm not, like, my pride is not that big. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So at that point, it's like, you know what? I need to take care of myself and I need to do what's right for my team. And yeah, I need to let my pride not get in the way and push through this just to compete at the Olympics again. I need to go sit down, take a rest, see what's wrong mentally, and let's figure it out. But let's still give my team a chance of medal contention. Because again, what people also don't realize is if I got hurt on that vault, they couldn't replace me. So if I got hurt, since I'm on every event, it's 2-up, 2-count. We would have never won a medal. But since what happened, happened, we went to the back. At that point, they could rule it as a mental injury and all of that stuff and physical. We got to put Jordan in. People don't know that.
What happened in the back? Did you just try to, like, what happened?
Doctors came over. I had to talk to my family because they were watching the Olympics and they see me get whisked to the back. So they thought I was hurt. And I'm like,
poor parents.
Yeah, I'm hurt. My heart is broken. Like, everything hurts, but my knees are fine. I'm like, my brain hurts, like, everything. So I called my family, and it's so funny because my sister was sleeping.
No.
Like, bitch, I'm at the Olympics. Why are you sleeping? But there's a time change, so I get it. But everybody's up in the house cheering for me, Simone gear on. And my sister's like, I think I'll take a nap.
I think I'll sit this one out. Simone's got it. So like, did they wake her up?
No, she heard the phone ring because I called the home phone. And she said she was sleeping and she felt something was wrong. She ran to the kitchen and said, I'll answer it, and saw my name on it.
Oh, that's freaky.
Freaky. And she answered and she said, hello. And as soon as I heard her voice, I lost it.
You're crying.
I was like, I'm out. I'm done. Like, and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. Can you hand the phone to mom? Like,
you're like, mom.
Yeah, like, come pick me up. I'm scared.
Literally, mom, come pick me up. I'm scared. I'm in Tokyo. Yeah. And you're back in the United States. What did your mom say?
She was like, are you okay? Because that was her main concern. She thought I got hurt.
Of course.
And at that point, like, yeah, I wish my toe was sticking on the side of my foot or my knees were cracked or something, because that would have been easier to explain.
It's also just like, as an athlete, you're so right. It's like the feeling of trying, we're supposed to be the toughest.
Yeah.
We're like, you're invincible. Yeah. What do you mean? We can't see the injury, so you're fine.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, sorry I came here. My brain just decided to have a malfunction and break.
Yeah. How do you describe that to people? How do you tweet that one to the world?
That's what I'm saying. But then whenever I really talked about it, and there were actually a lot of people that understood, and we got a lot of positive feedback, and that's why I was like, you know what? You're not going to put me at the forefront of mental health, but again, if I can be a voice, let's go through this journey together, because I know, unfortunately, a lot of us are struggling, but let's walk this journey together and let's go get healthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are your parents like on that call? Your mom's checking if you're okay. Yeah. What is your dad like in those moments?
My dad is always so calm and collected, it seems.
Yeah.
So he was probably like, oh, is she okay? But probably not even that concerned. He was probably like, is she okay? Okay. Okay. Like, I think that's just what he was doing. My mom was like a mess. I could hear her crying and breaking down, and that's what broke me too. It's because also I have so many people who have helped me get to where I was.
Yep.
And I felt like I didn't just let down myself. I let down that team that was there. I let down America. I let down my trainers. There are so many people that helped me get there. And that's why every time I get to compete for Team USA or I'm on top of that podium, I'm so grateful. And that medal's not just for me. It's for everybody that has helped me get there. So it's like, at that point, it was really heavy. Because I was like, I couldn't even look at Laurent. Like, Cecile helped me so much, but I couldn't look at Laurent.
Why?
I felt like I failed him. And I've never said that out loud, so it's like, and they've helped me get to that point because I never thought I was going to do gymnastics again. And so I felt like I let down Laurent.
Now having met him, mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, he has such a incredibly high standard for you in the best way.
Having navigated the emotional weight of competition and the expectations placed on athletes, the conversation now shifts to a lighter note, exploring the perfect Mother's Day gifts with the delightful YSL Lieb fragrances that capture the essence of spring.
The YSL Lieb fragrances make the perfect Mother's Day gift, Daddy Gang. The new Lieb Lo Nu has a fresh citrus floral scent and notes of green, mandarin, bergamot, orange blossom, and lavender, which are ideal now that we're in the spring season, okay? Plus, it's long-lasting, alcohol-free, and it comes in radiant, jewel-like white bottle that will look stunning on your mom's bathroom countertop. And if your mom likes a deeper, muskier scent, there's the iconic original Lieb Eau de Parfum with warm, sultry notes of vanilla, orange blossom, and lavender. It'll leave people asking your mom what she's wearing everywhere she goes. And then she'll get the chance to brag about you a bit too, okay? The YSL Lieb Lo Nu has truly become my signature scent, and every time I see my mom, she compliments me on it. I cannot wait to give her her own bottle and be like, here you go, Lori. Now we can smell the same, okay? Also, while I'm at it, I'm gonna pick up a YSL original Lieb Eau de Parfum for myself too. It's the best of both worlds. I need to restock, okay? Wearing a good YSL fragrance just makes me feel clean, classy, and put together, even if I'm in a pair of, you know, sweats. Also, I found that the Lo Nu leaves my skin radiant and glowing, so it's a must-wear for any date night with Matt. You're welcome, Matthew. I'm obsessed with the YSL fragrance. They just constantly elevate every moment of my day, and I'm so excited to share them with my mom this spring. Shop Lieb by Yves Saint Laurent at Sephora this Mother's Day.
You're married to an NFL player, Jonathan Owens.
Yes.
You met on Raya. Which first I just want to say, like, God bless you, because I had no luck on Raya. Okay, girl, like, Raya was just doing nothing for me, but, like, DJs in Australia.
Yeah.
So good for you.
You didn't have...
I had no luck.
I could have put your... I could have changed your
Thank
settings.
You. Okay, well...
your settings were off.
Were they?
Athletes, check. 50 to 100 miles, check.
Listen, I had enough of my days with athletes, okay, Simone? Yeah. I had to move on. What made his profile stand out?
I think, first of all, boys are so different from girls because, like, we're picking the cutest backgrounds, totally. The most aesthetically looking pictures, like, and I wanted him to see, I didn't want to really show that I was a gymnast, so I didn't want to put, like, a gymnastic-y picture in there unless he had to click on my Instagram and then see I was a gymnast. Uh-huh. So I didn't want that to be the first impression. So I was like, okay, face, not that much makeup, this, that, the other. But what stood out on his profile was just like, he seemed so charismatic. Mm. He had these little dimples, you know, the light eyes. And I was like, oh, he's so cute. And I think he had his bulldog on there. I was like, he has a dog. This is so cute.
That's how, I mean, even note to men listening, even if you don't own a dog, take a picture with the dog and put it on your profile because it won't work.
To me, if he had a dog, that meant he was responsible.
I love that you think that is the first thing. I mean, Mom, like, oh, he's so cute. Is that him laughing back there? Someone's laughing.
But listen,
someone's
then laughing. I went to his profile, and I didn't know it was his nephew, and I was like, he has a kid!
Oh, no! You thought he had a kid?
I thought he had a kid. But then, you know, our soccer skills.
30 seconds, you figure it out.
You figured it out, of course. So it was okay.
When did you start to realize he was the one?
You.
I know.
No, I know. Actually, and this is so cliche because everybody says this, but like the first time I met him, I came home from like our little date and stuff and my friends were at my house and I was like, I'm going to marry him. Like, who says that? I don't know why I said that. I don't know what it is, but I just felt something. It was just like felt
what?
Different.
Like the energy or?
The energy, how well we got along. And like, it was a COVID relationship. It was like March of 2020, whenever I went over, I had to go to his apartment to meet him. It wasn't in a public setting, and we knew it didn't want to be public because we're both like public figures. They just take pictures, whatever. But to go to his apartment, I was like,
right, like
for a first date. But we had no other choice. Everything was really shutting down in our city. Like that week, everything was starting to shut down. And so for me, I was like, let's just do a play date with the bulldogs. And he was like, because I have a bulldog too. And he was like, Well, no, because then we'll be distracted by the dogs. And for me, I kind of sometimes like distractions that's away from me. So that, like, if it's awkward, I'm like, oh, my dog, look at her.
The dog is sitting on the floor.
Yeah. Literally. So he was like, no, not for the first date. Then we'll introduce them. Like, and I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, cute.
But then I walked in and his dog was so excited, he peed all over the floor.
That's
and
when I was you like, know.
I was like, maybe girls aren't here very often.
Great sign. I love
you. You've never seen a girl. The dog has never met a girl.
Context clue, Simone, you're a genius. You're like,
Thank you. They've
never seen a woman. Even the delusion. You're like, they've never seen a woman.
Delusion.
They're like, the delusion.
Yeah.
What is married life like?
To me, I mean, God, we were together the whole entire time. And then as soon as we get married, Green Bay's like, hey, we want to sign him. So we went from our wedding, dropped our bags, flew out the next morning, signed a Green Bay. And they were like, see you Monday, Jonathan. So as soon as we got married, it was long distance. So it was very different. Now he's back home. Now we're getting back into the groove of things. Because we're both on our schedules. We're both athletes. And I think that's what is so nice about our relationship is, like, we get to focus on our sports, mm-hmm. respectively, and then we get to focus on each other. Mm-hmm. But it's no different. We're still dating, you know?
Yeah.
We're about to be 4 years in. So, yeah, married life is no different.
Okay. Jonathan, if you're listening, I don't even know if he's in this house yet.
I think he is.
We have to talk about the viral moment.
Yeah.
Like, we have to do it.
I knew you were going to ask
him. I have to. Jonathan's viral interview where he said he had no idea who you were and the internet went insane. What was your reaction when you heard the interview and everything?
I was in the room. I was sitting on the chair. You just couldn't see me on the videos. I was there for the whole entire video.
And you were feeling great.
I was feeling great. I was like, my man just killed that.
And I was like, stop.
And I'm so excited. And, like, they even panned over to me with that viral moment. And I just, like, roll my eyes and laugh because, like,
right.
But the funny thing is whenever I met Jonathan, we were texting that week. And I, at that point, I'm like, okay, I don't have time to waste. So if we're going to meet, because if it goes over a week, you're not meeting. Like, forget this, you know.
Yeah.
And so we met that week. But whenever I would text him anything I text him, he would say, I can do that. I can do that. So he could do everything. He was a comedian. He was a dog trainer. He was the best cook out there. He was the fastest runner. He could do everything. And that cracked me up about him. So I couldn't wait to meet him to be like, you're not funny. You're not a good cook.
You're not shit.
Yeah, literally. So I just thought that was funny because, and I thought that was cute that he thought he was good at everything because I'm like, I'm good at gymnastics.
Wait,
and he's like,
you.
I'm good at everything. And so whenever we did that, he did that interview, I thought everything was okay.
I'm dying that
And then
the
I
corner.
Go on Twitter and everybody's like, divorce this man. He's mean. And I'm like, he's the sweetest. He praises the ground that I walk on. Like, truly, I've never met a man like him. He still opens my doors. He's still, and I'm not saying that to be like, he still opens my doors because that's to be expected of men. But, like, he truly goes out of his way to do anything for me. Today, I was like, babe, I'm at the gym, and I forgot my camera. Can you bring it? And I meant to bring it to this house. He brought it to the gym.
No,
like,
no.
He's just so sweet.
Right. He's just doing things. Like, you feel loved, and you feel supported. And
yeah,
obviously,
so I didn't think anything of that interview. And he never said I wasn't a catch. He said he was a catch. Because he is. I've never met a man like him. A lot of people that meet him are like, oh my gosh, like, I want a man like that, like Jonathan. Like, a lot of the girls at the gym, they love him. He's so nice to them. He supports them. He's so sweet. One of the girls at the gym, she's like my little sister, and we had gone to, I think we were at camp, and I always drive her to camp, so she drops her car off at my house, and she parks it in the driveway. He got her windows tinted. He was like, you can't be fishbowling out here, and got her windows tinted. Like, he's the sweetest.
Like, he's thinking of the little things.
Yes.
I think what's crazy is, first of all, just as we know, the internet, like, you never know what's going to go viral.
And they'll take it and run, and that's exactly what they did.
Why do you think people got so upset?
Because first of all, that interview had nothing to do with me. It was all for him. So I think they were mad that he didn't include me in the interview. But he has to have his moments, too, and I let him have it. Whenever I go to football games, like, sometimes I get field passes, but I'm not like, hey, look at me, Simone Biles is here. I just want to see my man in that uniform. Give me a little kiss. Good luck out there. It's like, this is his moment. That's his interview. What was I supposed to interrupt that interview and be like, hey, da-da-da-da-da.
Right, like, you're like, I actually like that you're like, sometimes I'm like, I want to have my WAG moment on the field where I'm just like, I'm not Simone Biles, the Olympian. I'm just Simone Biles, like, and that's my boo on the field.
Yes, and I love to support him. So I think that they were mad that whenever they said he, and by the way, like, he said it, but Brian Clark, like, said it so many times, like, yeah, so you're saying, so it was kind of hyped up, you know, boys, whatever, like, those conversations or drinking their little tequila, whatever it is. So I think that was the thing. If it was that girl's moment, it's just different. That was like their fireside chat, that they're outside hanging with the boys, whatever. Like, there was no, there was nothing foul about it.
When that was all going crazy and trending, what are you guys saying to each other?
I thought it was hilarious what people were saying, divorce him, divorce him. All of this crazy stuff. And like, he doesn't even like to say divorce. He's probably dying right now that I've said it like six times in a row.
Divorce.
Yeah, literally.
Divorce.
Because like that's whatever. So I thought it was hilarious at first. And then they hurt my feelings. Right. And then like one night I got broke. I broke down and I'm like, why are you guys talking about my husband like this? Yeah. Like, you don't know him. You don't know who he is. And if anybody's met him, they know he's the sweetest guy and will do anything for anybody.
Yeah, it was just perceived in not the correct way.
Yes. And so that really hurt that they were talking about my husband like that. Because for me, it's like, talk about me all you want, but don't come for my family. Never.
Yeah.
Like, because I've been in the limelight long enough where I can brush things off, have my little powwow about it. You're not going to know I cried about it, but I'd be crying about some stuff.
You know?
But I'm also, I only cry about it because I can't clap back. Just know that.
Why not? Why couldn't you?
I hurt their feelings.
You're like, you don't want me to clap back.
Yeah, and it's just like, classy, you know?
Classy. But
yes, because whenever I was younger, I used to have Twitter fingers too.
Oh, okay.
Like my agent, like, Simone, can you take that down?
No, no.
You know, because I would go off on people because who are you to say? And so every now and then, if I say something, it's like slick and clever, but I can really go there.
Yeah, you're just like, it's better to not.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Jonathan has never.
They're in the drafts.
Yeah.
They're in the drafts.
You draft them and you never send them.
Because if I at least
everyone's
type it out,
hack
I feel better.
Twitter. I hope someone hacks your Twitter and just rips. No, can you imagine? We're like, bad. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Because they're like quoted.
Literally. Okay, Jonathan has never gotten to go to the Olympics before with you. What are you most excited about for him to experience?
Well, hopefully he gets to go because that's usually like their training camp.
No.
And he's working on a new contract, so hopefully he'll work in his new contract at least like 2 days.
Yeah.
Like even if it's like, hey, personal day.
Yeah.
But some teams are really, really nice about like, if you work with their family relations, some are more family oriented than others. So fingers crossed, we'll get to see him in the stands. So I'm excited for him to see that. One, I'm excited to see him to see the Olympics because football's not in the Olympics. And he always says it's like the hardest sport. It's universal. And I'm like, so why isn't it in the Olympics if not every country does it?
Period.
But no, just to see that spirit. And I'm at Paris. I think they'll do a beautiful job. And he doesn't travel overseas too much. Mm-hmm. The first time he went overseas was like when I think he was on the Texans and they went to London. Like he had to get a passport. He never had a passport before.
Oh, so you're like, come with me, babe.
Yes.
Let me show you the world.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
Literally. Okay. Regardless of what happens in Paris, what do you hope your legacy is?
To be an advocate for anything that I've been outspoken about, mental health, foster care, ADHD, whatever that is, but also just someone that gave it her all, never gave up, but also had fun and enjoyed her career because I think a lot of times athletes might look back at their career and be like, I wish I had more fun or I wish I did this differently. But I'm kind of at that age where I don't really have any more regrets because I'm a little bit older. I'm more mature. Everything I've done has kind of been on like my time. So I don't have regrets.
I think that is so beautiful.
That's it for today's summary. To stay up to date with more summaries and news, follow us on X and Instagram and visit our website, podsummarizer.xyz. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or complaints about the content displayed, please do not hesitate to write to us at info@podsummarizer.xyz. Thank you for listening.